All right, Sunday morning, 7:24:22. This is a teaching. Title is Getting Rid of the Jew Junk. All right. Well, I had my whip out yesterday. There's a doctrine that has been floating around in the body of Christ for many years. We personally experienced it in the early 70s, bringing the body of Christ back under the law of ordinances that even the Jews could not keep. I call this Jew junk. It's not meaning to offend anyone, but again, it is to offend enough to get you off your lethargy. For those that are pushing this junk, I'm targeting you and saying to you, stop it. How will we ever be one body walking in unity with the full anointing with these junk punishers sowing discord among the brethren? Sowing discord, divisions among the brethren. We're going to have a lot of scripture this morning. This is Proverbs 6:12. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He devises mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. This right here, discord, just means a contest or a quarrel, a form of strife. Let's settle this contest, this quarrel, once and for all. I'm going to be looking at, like I said, several scriptures today. Let's look over to John chapter 19. I felt like Paul with Peter yesterday. All right, John 19:30. Well, it's not 19:30. Here we go again. All right. Well, yeah, I guess it is. Hold on. All right. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. What does finished mean? It means to end, complete, execute, conclude, discharge a debt. In other words, the purpose that he came, while they had to go through all they went through in the old covenant, Jesus came to completely finish all of that. All right, go to Genesis 2. Verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. Finished there means to end, to complete, and accomplish. Same thing Jesus said. By Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, man could now go back to the garden and commune with God. In other words, he eradicated all that the devil did in Genesis 3 to cause the fall of man, and all the junk in between. God never wanted them to walk by the law. He tried to bring them out by faith out of Egypt, but they weren't going to have it. No, we just want you to tell us what to do and we'll do it. So he gave them something that they couldn't do. And if they broke one dot, didn't dot one I or cross one T, they broke the whole law. All right, Hebrews 10. The Jews ought to be happy about this. You know what I'm saying? If you're a Jew, you ought to be screaming hallelujah over this. Living under that burden. Gosh. All it was is a bunch of blood and gore, killing animals all the time. Going to heaven. Just butchers. Hebrews 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they have not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. See, Jesus eradicated sin, so sin's gone. We don't have to live under sin. Well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. I hate that, because it's not true. Well, we're just all sinners. No, we're not. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See, they lived under that sin consciousness all the time. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written to me to do thy will, O God. See, from the very beginning, Jesus knew he was going to come back and fix it. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. I wish the body of Christ to get it across that other is no longer. No longer. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest, that's not by doing the law. Many Christians are under the law and doing the Torah. And every priest standeth daily ministering, offering oft times the same sacrifice which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Now where remission of sins is, there is no more offering for sin. So God, through Jesus Christ, has now moved to the inside. It's an inside walk. It's not a bunch of rules and regulations. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter to the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. All their sacrifices, all their ordinances didn't change their heart. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for his faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. I think it's allowing the devil to come in. When you walk by, supposed to be walking by grace, and you're trying to go back under the law. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. All right? One thing about the law, if you offend in one part, you offend in all. So why would anyone want to bring the body of Christ back under the law? I don't understand that. It just makes me furious. All right, James 2, verse 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. I say to you today that the devil is the thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God made the days for man. He does not get a day. This is another thing like the boycotting stuff. I mean, exactly is what it is. It's like right here. I say that it's time for some so-called teachers to stop having us boycott things because we don't like them. God never said boycott, but to occupy. Quit giving Satan the day. Well, you know, we can't do Easter. You know, it's Ishtar. Shut up. Who made the sixth day and everything in it? God, not the devil. Quit letting the devil have things. No, he doesn't get Christmas. No, he doesn't get Easter. No, we don't have to go to church on Saturday. The devil is the thief. He has come to steal, kill, destroy. He's stolen things. We get them back. So God has set us free, not just us, but the Jews too. You will see here through the scripture why the Jewish leaders that were under the law had such a hard time receiving his message. Okay, we've got several scriptures here. First one's Matthew chapter 12. He doesn't get anything. Who did God create the earth for? Man. Who gets it all? Man. What's the devil get? The pit. Then the lake of fire. All right. 12. Matthew 12. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered, and he began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, have ye not read what David did when he was a hungered, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest? Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you, that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. The Sabbath wasn't made for man. Man was made for the Sabbath. When he had departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, he will not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. Is it worth getting killed over? It's amazing to me, with everything that's going on in the world and everything that the devil has done, that people are more concerned on you doing the letter of the law going to church on Saturday instead of Sunday, or not having Christmas, or not having Easter. It means more to them that you do that than what's going on in the dumps. The rescuing of the children. I'm telling you, it's the truth. And it makes me furious. I can't hardly stand it. All right, Mark 2. They're Pharisees. Isn't that how the Pharisees acted? Here, Jesus, he's Lord of the Sabbath. And they are condemning him for it. They didn't care somebody got healed. All they cared, well, you broke the law. Sounds like the deep state, doesn't it? Put somebody in jail because they walked in the Capitol when the police opened the door. But then someone tries to stab a guy running in one New York. Is it New York? A man tries to come up and stab him. And they let him off. What's wrong with this situation? All right. Mark 2. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, and so much that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when he had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye things in your hearts? Rather is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on the earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said to him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus, and his disciples from there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And the disciples of John and of the Pharisees used to fast. And they come and say unto him, Why did the disciples of John and the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. No man also seweth a piece of new cloth on an old garment, else the new piece that filleth it up taketh away from the old, and the rent is made worse. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred. But the new wine must be put into new bottles. And it came to pass that he went through the cornfield on the Sabbath day, and his disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, Behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And he said unto them, Have you never read what David did when he had need and was hungered, he and they that were with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priest, and gave also to them which were with him? And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Okay, Luke 6. This is what Jesus was dealing with in his day. It looks like we're dealing with the same old garbage in our day. Going to be laying down new doctrine, not false doctrine. Making people, we're here to make people free. Like I said on Wednesday night, giving them hope. Jesus didn't kick them to the curb. He gave them hope. He healed their diseases. He showed them, we're for you. God's for you. God loves you. Not like what these representatives have portrayed me to be. This is the way I really am. This is the way my Father really is. It's how my Father really feels about you. All right, Luke 6. And it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the cornfields, and the disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And certain of the Pharisees said unto him, why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? And Jesus answering them said, have you not read so much as this, what David did when he himself was hungered, and they which were with him? How he went into the house of God and did take and eat the showbread and gave also to them that were with him, which is not lawful to eat but for the priest. And he said unto them that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath and entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up, stand forth in the midst. And he rose and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy? And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored, whole as the other. And they were filled with madness and communed with one another what they might do to Jesus. All over making sure what they thought was the law was executed. They didn't care if somebody got healed. All they cared about, well, you're not supposed to do it on this day. Well, the fact was they never did it on any day. Ever. Letter of the law. All right, 13, Luke 13. Told you I got a lot of scripture today. Verse 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had an infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. See, he wasn't bound by religious dogma. He just saw a need. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she made straight and glorified God. She was made straight. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work, and them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? She'd been coming to the synagogue for 18 years, and nobody ever lifted one finger to ease her burden. And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. You think the new kingdom that's coming ain't going to draw them in? Because all they've seen is this unmerciful, hard shell crapola. When the kingdom ushers in, they're going to be flocking, coming out of every kind of everything. These people, they just love us. We're free. We're free. Not living under this burden anymore. All right, let's keep going. Luke 14. You know, getting a person, like I think I said it Wednesday night, getting a person born again is a great and noble thing. But that's not all that it's about. It's giving them hope. It's about making a disciple of them, showing them the way of the kingdom. And how did Jesus do it? Demonstration. Jesus said the disciples, that's what would happen, that they would lay hands on the sick and they'd recover. That's part of the gospel. Not love them and leave them. Making a disciple. All right. Luke 14, 1. It came to pass as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day that they watched him. Behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And he took him and healed him and let him go. And answered them, saying, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fall into a pit and will not straightway pull him out of the on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. Yeah, when it was money was involved. Yeah, when money was involved, they would get involved. But not to help somebody. John chapter 5. Get a drink here. Verse 1, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great number of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the movement of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. A certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years, which Jesus saw him lie, and knew that had been now a long time in that case. He saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. And the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is a Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he said, He that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus, and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. So the Father was working on the Sabbath. Jesus said, It's not me doing the works, it's the Father in me. Boy, that took it to the next level. He's saying God's working. God wouldn't be working on the Sabbath. He laid down the law. All right, John 9. See, when we start getting the concept that we are a spiritual house, we have an inside walk, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, it bypasses all this outward ordinances, junk. John 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. He's working the works of him that sent him. While it's day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool, Siloam, and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then say they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon my eyes, and I washed and do see. It's kind of like the Inquisition here. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he came not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him? And he said, That he hath opened thine eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called his parents, the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. Not one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Then said they to him again, What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? And he answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? You know what they're doing to him? Just like what they did to the president's son. Grilled him for 11 straight hours, trying to get him to get weak and speak out of turn or speak some weak word where they could incarcerate him when he did nothing. That came out in the speech the other night. Don Jr., this is what they did to him. Over nothing. That's what they're doing to this man here. These Nazi tactics were even around in Jesus' day. Then they reviled him and said, Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, Why, herein is a marvelous thing that we know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? Not one time do you read in the Old Testament of somebody being their eyes open. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they'd cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. This is going on in Jesus' day. Jesus violated the law because the Father led him to. Boy, that'd curl somebody's hair today. What is sad to me today is that ministers and others are doing this sort of thing today. They try to shame you if you don't have church on Saturday, if you celebrate Christmas or Easter. I say shame on you. Satan has had his finger in every pie, and everything has been demonized. So what do we do? We take it back in Jesus' name is what we do. The day belongs to us, not we the day. Jesus said his Father was working, and so was he? Colossians 2:16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink. Oh, well, that's bad for you. You can't have that meat, or you can't have this, or you can't have that. Let me read it again. Let no man judge you, therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. Does that clear it up for you? If I want to have it on Monday morning, I'll have it on Monday morning, if that's what the Lord said. The Lord specifically told me Sunday and Wednesday. But that held up a lot of the big wigs in the body of Christ today. I don't care. They can kiss it. That's the way I feel about it. Who do you think you are? We're each one led by the Spirit of God. We are each one the temple of the Holy Ghost. And if he says it's okay, it's okay. I don't care what the Pharisees and Sadducees have to say about it. They can go pound sand. All right, 2:16. I just read it to you. Okay. Let me read it again. It's just too good. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. These people that judge you and try to bring division need to have their minds renewed to the new covenant. We're no longer under the old covenant, whether they like it or not. In Jesus' day, people were astonished. He healed them, helped them, set them free. He wasn't like the religious leaders. It was astonishing to them. Well, I'm telling you, this new age is going to be astonishing to a lot of people. I've heard people say, well, there won't be any more organized religion. I agree with that. I don't think there will be. All coming down. Following Jesus is not a religion. It's your life. That's what it is. It's life. All right, Matthew 7. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. See, they'd say one thing and do another. But Jesus came with authority and power. They saw it in manifestation. All right, Matthew 16. When his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgot to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. This is that mixture. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have taken no bread? Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, how many baskets you took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many baskets you took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Say this mixture to try to take your freedom from you in Christ Jesus. Okay, now let's go to, 11, leaveneth the whole lump. All right, in other words, the kingdom is the supernatural inside walk, but the doctrines of men is outward and puts on a good show. Yeah. Okay, Matthew 22. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. Talk about no resurrect in the resurrection there is no marriage, no giving in marriage. Astonished at his doctrine. Okay, Mark 1, 21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And when they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy, as I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God?" And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. See, when you start seeing the power show up, someone with authority and power, you come out of them old doctrinated places that have kept you bound your whole life. Isn't that what Jesus taught, the kingdom? All right, Mark 11, 18. Okay, just a minute. And the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. This is when he drove the moneylenders out of the temple. Yep. All right, Luke 4:32. There's probably saying, "We like this. We like this. These thieves and robbers in here, you know." They're just here to take your money. 4:32. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Like I said, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they never healed anybody on any day. But they complained about him doing it on the Sabbath day. All right, John 7. 16. Now this is a good one here. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." This is God's doctrine. God's order. "If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that speaketh his glory or seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." All right, Acts 2:42. This is after the day of Pentecost, when the church began. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers." Whole church. Acts 5. 28 and 29. "Saying, did not we straitly command that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men." That has to be our stand. God rather than man. You can see here why we need God's true apostles in place. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4. Starting with 14. Well, let's just start with 7. It's just all pretty good. "But every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. now that he ascended, what is but that he also descended first to the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gained some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head of in Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto edifying of itself in love. That's the way it's supposed to be. Now in Acts chapter 10, we see here, this is after the day of Pentecost, and Peter goes, well, we'll just read it. Like I said, I got a lot of, still got quite a few more scriptures. Well, we're doing pretty good. Okay, not too many more. Acts chapter 10, verse 1. And there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. When he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, and he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down on the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And he called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by holy angels to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them, and on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow, after they had entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends, and as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And he talked with him. He went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, You know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. See, that's under the law. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Tell me, what's the difference between imposing when you need to have church or what holidays you need to, as they're trying to break you under what they did under the law? Isn't it the same thing? Looks like it to me. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. And said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call for hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Even the fallacy of the Jews today, that they're so much better than us. You don't touch the Jews, you don't touch their land, you don't touch all of this, do all of this. Well, under the new covenant, that's not so. All that's old covenant, every bit of it, you can go look at it. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. See, the gospel was brought to the Jews. What was it brought to the Jews for? To reign supreme over every other race? No. To take the gospel into the rest of the world. Wasn't that their commission? See how Satan distorts things? See how religious distorts things and messes things up? Not him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto the witness chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. See, they were to be the witnesses to the rest of the world, which is evident here in this experience Peter's having. The apostle. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, even those that were unclean. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. We used to have a wonderful TV station out here, full of all kinds of Word of Faith teachers, wonderful teachers. Had a pretty broad reach. We had lots of ministers coming in all over from the United States and places because of that TV station out there. Well, they let some Old Covenant Jews come in and start infiltrating their ranks. And before you know it, they accused all the faith teachers of being anti-Semitic. I know, because I called and asked, why did you let Aquila Nash go? Well, she's anti-Semitic. Jew junk! That Jew junk ruined that lighthouse out there. You don't ever hear much about it or anything about it anymore. I don't know if it's still operating or not. See, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. We're free. I mean, they had a situation come up after this happened. Trying to put the church, the Gentiles, under Jewish rules and regulations and laws. And James the Apostle stood up and said, no, we're not going to do that. If they'll just stay out of fornication, you know, the idol worship, drinking of blood, cannibalism, all that mess that goes with that, they'll be fine. Don't put this burden on them that we couldn't do. Peter said, they're trying to put a burden on the Gentile church that we could not even bear ourselves. I may read that later. I don't know if I put it down or not. All right. See, in my opinion, that ruined that place out there. It leavened the whole lump. No affected, no lighthouse, no light. It extinguished the light. Wasn't it called the light of the Southwest? What is it now? I don't know.
God's Learning Channel.
Well, I don't know about that. It's time to stop all this nonsense and get back to sound doctrine in the body of Christ so we won't be ashamed at His coming. All right, Ephesians chapter 2. I'm telling you, yesterday, I just felt like I wanted to just fight. I want to punch you out. That's how I felt. But you got to punch them out in the spirit. You can't do it physically. Because you just think, when are you going to stop? When are you going to stop? Like I've already said before, we were in a cult, Christian cult, in the 70s. In order to just sap the life of God out of us. It ruined us to want to go to church anywhere, which was probably a blessing. It's probably part of the Lord bringing us out of the system anyway. But it was pretty devastating. And we've been made fun of for years because of it. But, you know, good. I think it was a lesson well learned. All right. Ephesians 2, 14. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Remember the word about the unity? That He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, are built upon the foundation, the apostles and prophets of Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together showeth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. This is the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are no more divisions. The dividing wall has been taken down. See, this is the good news for the Jews too. Now the Jew is one that's circumcised in heart, not in the flesh. A lot of Jews don't like that, but they're traditional. If you're traditional, yeah, you probably will have a hard time with that. But nonetheless, it's the truth. You know, believe it or not, want it or not, you make your choice. All right, Romans 7. Know ye not, brethren, verse 1, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she is married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband is dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to Him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now you're delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. That says it pretty plain, doesn't it? All right, Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. That tells me they're not going to get to Jesus through the law. Not going to be any salvation through the law. It says right here, if you're not in Christ, you're not going to get it. Right here. But if you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I didn't say that. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. See, God moved out of the temple. When Jesus died on the cross, he moved out of the box. He moved out of the temple. I mean, there's been Jews practicing for thousands of years, but it's just a dead work. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. For we know that the whole creature groaneth, or whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but the hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, or for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, to be confirmed to the image of, or be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with us also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So nothing can separate you. Nothing. All right, Galatians 2. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as the Jews? Isn't that what this is? Isn't it the same thing? It's another part of it? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ a minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Okay, nearly done here. All right, a person has no business being a leader if he does not have his doctrine straight, because he causes division. All right, Galatians 3:26. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to promise. I say it's time to mind your own business. Your own business. Tend to your own business. Right here. 1 Thessalonians 4. We're nearly done here. 4:9. But as touching brotherly love, need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all of Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we command you, that ye walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. All right, we're to help one another, not to correct one another. We may not be able to do certain things, but that does not give us the right to judge someone else for them doing it. All right, this is Romans 14. I mean, there's things I can't do that others can. Does it mean they're wrong? No. It means that if the Lord has told me I can't do that, I better not do that. We're walking by the Spirit here. We each have individual walks, and the Lord's going to require some things of you maybe that he won't require of me, and vice versa. All right, we're going to read one more passage and we'll be done. I'm running out of water, so I'll be done. He Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he should be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day and above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. He that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth unto himself, and no man dieth to himself. For rather we live unto the Lord. Rather we die unto the Lord. Rather we live, therefore we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth it unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things therewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good to eat neither flesh nor drink wine nor any other, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. Hast thou faith, have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he allieth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. All right, one more statement. If members of the body celebrate the Jewish rituals, etc., that is fine with me. But don't try to push it off on me. They are free to do so, and I'm free to do so. Should be our stance, so there is no divisions among us, but acceptance. Okay.